Three-time Wisconsin Sports Writer of the Year, Jason Wilde.
Is there anything anybody loves more than agreeing with Tausch?
Packers Hall of Famer, Mark Tauscher.
I got a hunch this isn't going to be concise either.
Broadcasting live from the Everlight Solar Studio.
I would say that you are pretty easygoing. You're actually probably more easygoing than I am.
This is Wilde and Tausch, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin.
Well, there's no... You're not easygoing at all.
Hey!
On 100.5 ESPN, the ESPN app, and Wisconsin On Demand.
Friday edition, it's kind of echoey in here when I say that loud. The live from Steinhoffel's in Waukesha, fans already trickling in. Is the story even technically open yet? We just pack them in no matter what the hour edition. As Jesse wrote on the show sheet, the Brewers lose, everyone's sad but Jason. I am sad. I'm sad for all the people that are sad. Edition. And I guess this means we can go back to focusing on the Packers, which we normally do on this show, edition after today. Of Wilde and Tausch, on 94.5 ESPN Milwaukee, 100.5 ESPN Madison, 1430 ESPN Beaver Dam, ESPNWisconsin.com, the ESPN app, your Alexa smart speaker, streaming live video, Twitter, Facebook, YouTube, and of course everything you need. On WisconsinOnDemand.com and the Wisconsin On Demand app. I'm Jason Wilde, normally in Green Bay, today in Waukesha at the, dare I say, Taj Mahal of Steinhoffel's.
Beautiful Steinhoffel's. Really high ceilings. It's got a little Da Vinci, Michelangelo vibe.
Did you know he was going to say that? Because I knew he was going to say
that. I did, and I'm curious.
Why did you think that I would say that?
I knew you were going to comment on the...
Not yes. Only I don't back down, but I'm also predictable.
I knew you were going to say
beauty and I see
Michelangelo
this,
Da Vinci up
does
there.
Does this not have a beautiful feel to it?
Wait, who did the Sistine Chapel that you weren't allowed to take pictures of on your trip?
Well, that's Michelangelo.
Okay, what is Da
Vinci? And I thought that was kind of overrated. I think this is underrated. I don't expect to come
you
into
Steinhoffel's. You can take photos of this, though.
No, I didn't expect to come into Steinhoffel's and think that this is Louvish.
Like,
now
it's a Louvre.
Well, no, I'm just saying. Like, it's a great
We're 45 piece. Seconds in. We've been to multiple major cities.
This
right.
has a vibe I didn't expect. That's all.
Riley Yauch is in the Everlight Solar ESPN Madison studios. Hi, Riley.
Hello, hello.
Jesse's already gotten after you for links that you're sending that aren't working.
Yep.
Because Jesse is here.
Hey!
Because he heard there were going to be donuts.
I am genuinely confused.
Oh boy!
At what goes into Jesse's mind? I'm legit. Sometimes you want to do remote, sometimes you don't. Sometimes you so
food makes the remote.
I'm not going to get into all that though. Not today. Not when we're in the Sistine Chapel of Steinhoffel's.
That voice you hear belongs to the Packers Hall of Famer. It is Mark Tauscher. Tausch, how was your drive?
The drive was great. It's smooth sailing from Madison. This is nothing. It's easy to get here right off the interstate. Like you can't ask for an easier and more beautiful Steinhoffel.
That's true.
A lot busier on 4:30 last night making the drive down.
So you went to the game last night?
I did. Spontaneous decision after the show yesterday.
With my college buddies?
No, I wasn't offered that ticket. Someone else on the panel was. So two members of the panel.
You never
were.
Even replied.
So Tyler got you tickets. Now is he bringing bubbler? Because that's usually what he does.
Tier one Tyler did bring me a bubbler.
No. What about us?
No, he's not coming down here. He works in Madison.
Well, I just heard it was a short drive.
It's one of the staples of Steinhoffel's remotes is that he drops us bubbler.
I'll see what we can do. He's got some free time today. But we went to the game last night. Yes, we found some tickets available about 3 hours before first pitch that were in the price range we were comfortable with, and we made the surprise decision to go sit in section 429 and enjoy The game.
That is not George's old section.
It is not. No. His section was the Toyota territory.
So even though you got your heart ripped out, you're glad you went.
No, we said on the way home, no regrets for going, just really bummed by the result.
No regrets.
No regrets.
I think watching it, you know, the first five or six innings, boom, 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 kind of, you know, it is what it is. And then you can't beat what you, I'm sure, were feeling in that eighth inning.
Mm-hmm.
That's why we love sports. That's the beauty of it. And then in the same breath, ninth inning comes and you get your gut wrenched. And that's what sports is. And so for, I know all Brewers fans and Wisconsin sports fans, I just sent a tweet out. I do think there's a sense that we're cursed. I think Wisconsin sports fans feel that way. And I totally disagree with that assessment, but I understand why we feel that way today. And looking at it, I really felt like when they brought Peralta in and he was as smooth as he did in the eighth, I'm always curious because I am a big believer in going with your horses. He's done this all year, do it. But I'm also a big believer, and I was talking to my boy Wisey on the way down, and I like bouncing ideas off him. And he said, why is it in all these other sports that you will ride the hot hand, whether it's basketball? Like, the analytics would say you're going to have somebody getting a wide-open jumper, but you want Michael Jordan taking the shot. And I'm not comparing Peralta to Michael Jordan, but there is that component. I don't have a problem with what Murph did last night. I don't think Brewers fans do.
No.
You can sleep well thinking I'm in a position where I put my horse out there and it just didn't work. The dude hit a three-run homer. Your guts are punched, and here we sit today.
So, wait, Wisey was suggesting that they would stick with Peralta pitching on one day's rest after he got you through the eighth?
No, it's not really, I don't want to put it in Peralta. It's more who's got the hot hand. Who do you, that's more what it was.
Like the dude converts 91% of his saves, right?
Giving up one home run all season, and unfortunately,
we question when he pulled McGill after one inning where he only threw seven pitches. McGill's been good all season, so why don't throw him out there for a second? I think I understand like what you're saying with riding the hot hand.
The
change?
You had the guy for the ninth inning, starting the inning with the bases empty. He is facing the top of the order, but that is the scenario. If you are Pat Murphy, that is exactly the scenario you want. You need to get three outs.
Yeah.
Ideally, you'd like to face 7, 8, and 9 in their order, not 1, 2, and 3. Lindor was the only one who'd had hits in that game to that point. Like,
dude, Lindor's a stud. I don't know what they're
really
paying
good.
Him. He was with the Indians for a while, right?
Yes.
And one of the things, my brothers sent me a note, the gaminess at the end of that game, to not just catch the fly ball, to let it, the liner, to let it one hop, to turn two to end it. That's the little things that, the players that are constantly, you're coaching 6th and 7th grade baseball. You're always think ahead, have your plan. And it was executed pretty well. So I'm disappointed because this team was so fun and gritty. And unlike some of the other teams where I kind of just, like when you lose to the A's 3 times last year, it's just this had a different vibe. And I was really kind of taken back by what Robin, when he joined us yesterday, and, the time, the clock is ticking. It just felt like this year was going to be different. And it turns out it was the same as how most of the Brewers' seasons finished.
So you had, I don't want to use the word threatened, but you had said that if they lost, that you would, this would be a, this is an aw shucks, great season, you had a good run. Do you still feel that way given the way they lost, or did you soften that position from yesterday?
I mean, you're judged on postseason success in sports. That's just the reality. The regular season was great, and I think all Brewers fans are excited about the future. But just like I was last year, it's about taking advantage of opportunities. Had the Mets come in and just barnstormed us, they're better. Oh, then the narrative is, $200 million more in payroll, blah, 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 blah. That's not what happened. And there are only a certain amount of times that you get in these positions. It's hard. So I told you about the Niners. They're finding out right now. It's a tough climb. Everything now, you're back at the mountain, at the base. And you got to get all your gear. You got to rebuild. You got to do it. It's a really hard climb. So this team was good enough to do big things. They are gutty enough. And I think that's the part that's disappointing for me is that this just felt different. It wasn't one of your ordinary kind of, oh, they win a couple. This was a really good team that had positioned itself in a great spot and had the game right there. You know, as a former athlete, you'll have games that, hey, they beat us. Like, you know, the 4th and 26, we were better. We should have won. Doesn't mean we were going to go to the Super Bowl. We didn't know how it would have went. The Giants NFC Championship game, I can't in good faith look at that game and say we were better than them. They outplayed us. I can live with that one a heck of a lot easier. And I'm guessing guys that were on that team that lost to Seattle, they're never going to get over that. Guys that were on that field last night aren't going to get over that. Devin Williams ain't going to get over that. It's going to be with him forever. That's why, you know, from an athlete's mindset standpoint, you could say you can move on and you can do, but that pain sticks with you. That scar stays with you. And what I said yesterday was you got a lot of young guys don't know anything about. Now there's scars. Now, all of a sudden, it gets to be 6th, 7th inning, and Jackson Churio and Terang, you got some guys that you're going to be looking saying, oh, boy. You know, and you hope that that doesn't creep in, but human nature will tell you that it does.
And it clearly scars fans, too.
It does.
Like, I mean, Homer, I saw, tweeted after the game last night, like, one of the worst things is that all the fans going into the series were like, okay, well, Brewers are going to lose again here in the first round of the playoffs, and they were proven right again. Like, we're now scarred. All the fans leaving the stadium last night, the grumbling and the sadness as you're leaving, and just everybody talking with one another with pure strangers, well, just saying, well, there's another Wisconsin loss. We're never going to get anything good.
And you get it was very similar because I started thinking, I looked at my calendar for next week. I was going to get down because I think it would have been Tuesday, Wednesday,
I believe
Thursday.
You're right, yeah.
What day can I get down there to go to a game? How can we kind of – and I'm sure there were a lot of fans like that, just like at halftime in 2014, thinking about, oh, start planning Super Bowl plans because this team's up 16. Mm-hmm. And that makes it even more painful. And I should know better. We all should know better that it ain't over till it's over. But you just felt different until you didn't.
Devin Williams did not, as he said last night, that was not the worst pitch he's ever thrown. Tausch, having played 11 years in the league, how often do you have to tip your cap to the opponent? Because Pete Alonso hit a less than ideal pitch out of the ballpark.
What do you mean less than ideal?
It wasn't a hanging curveball down the middle of the plate that he put, you know, 450 feet into left field.
Sure.
He went the opposite way.
Line drive.
Yeah. I mean, I just, again, you tell me how much of it is your team let you down and how much of it is the other guys went and won the game.
Yeah, I mean, it's a great question. You always tip your cap when someone does something big and they found ways to get guys on base and to put themselves in that position when I'm sure after the back-to-back home runs, they were probably, and it, another great life lesson is it's always about how you react when bad things happen because bad things and adverse moments are going to happen to every sports team, every person, and then it's what do you do? And to give the Mets credit, they didn't give in and say it's just not our year. Well, we're this. They found a way to kind of grind it back out, and you know who knows what happens if Lindor doesn't short hop it, turn two. You never know if the Brewers get up.
Churio's
up next. You have that opportunity. And this team just never gave in. They got beat. And there is a hat tip portion that you can say, but you can also look back and say, I mean, there's always plays that you look at and say, if a pitcher would have covered, if we don't do this, if we could have gotten a couple more runs in that eighth after we got it to second and third, we don't get runners at second, we don't advance them, and we don't get it. There's all kinds of other things that you could look at, but obviously Devin Williams wasn't sharp last night. He was not as effective as he was the night before, but you can live with it because he's been your horse, and I think Pat Murphy will be fine looking at it and saying, I'll take that situation every time, even though it didn't work out this time.
We do have a Packers game coming up on Sunday in Los Angeles. We'll talk about that during the course of the show, like a typical Friday Wilde and Tausch edition. But the Brewers season does end.
Are we cursed? Are Wisconsin sports fans cursed?
So you ask that saying that you definitely do not think you are.
Well, I haven't said my opinion yet.
I think you actually did say
I told you that,
you didn't.
The Brewers are starting to feel cursed.
And why do you say? Just because they can't get over the hump.
Haven't ever won a World Series. Devastating loss. Like, there's now a lengthy scroll of devastating playoff losses going all the way back to Game 7 in the 82 World Series, which from watching the movie just a bit outside, I didn't realize the Brewers actually had a lead in that game and had a chance to win that one. Like, going back to that, like,
they're up 2 in the 6th.
Yeah. I didn't know that until watching the documentary 3 weeks ago.
Mm-hmm.
The Brewers are starting to feel like there's always going to be something that goes wrong. The Packers, I think you can justify, like, they've won multiple championships, including the one that, you know, 15 years ago.
13 championships.
Yeah, like, you know, there's a difference, I think, in being cursed because you just feel like the franchise is, you know, having some difficult losses. To have never won one, to not have even been back to a World Series with some really solid teams since 1982.
In the golden era, too.
It's starting to feel like the Brewers specifically are cursed.
Hmm.
We will continue this conversation. We'll also hear from Devin Williams. We'll hear from Willie Adames. And I was, after what Robin Yount said yesterday on the show, watching Christian Yelich talking about Bob Uecker, that got me verklempt last night when I saw Adam McAlvey's video that he posted on Twitter. We will talk more.
Did you hear Jeff Levering's end?
No. I heard Uecker.
It's very sad. Just sad. A lot of sadness.
I want to talk more about this cursed idea.
Maybe Jason's got it right. Maybe we shouldn't invest in any. Don't invest in anything. Just live a completely joyless, sadless life.
I had plenty of joy in my life, thank you. And then the game ended. I turned off the TV. I turned off the audio stream.
I don't want to get into your fandom again. I didn't mean to do that.
But. And then I went and fed the feral cat that keeps coming up onto our deck. So
did Boog call a good game last night?
I have no
sorry
idea.
I missed him.
Didn't use him.
Your guys' hatred of Boog is a little weird.
It's not just us. I was asking people.
I heard through the grapevine. I was obviously also at the game with you, Jesse. That Boog
Ciambi.
It's the mysterious voice. Mysterious voice from the void. That
at
Boog.
At least you're not doing any of your
just
voice.
Wait. We're playing the
whatever,
voice.
Jason.
No.
I'll pass. I'll put an X up. Just wait. Who's next?
But I heard Boog signed off the TV broadcast with "The Mets move on to Philadelphia looking undaunted." So I don't want to hear any of this non-biased crap.
What a slap to
Screw you, Boog.
Boog sucks.
We'll hear
I guess
more.
We can blame Boog.
We'll hear more from the Brewers coming up. But before that, Tausch is going to tell us about Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin with the hope that the Brewers window remains wide.
The Brewers window's open. I feel good moving forward. It always sucks when things end. Beautiful windows here at Steinhoffel's. You know what? I'm guessing they're Pella, and if they're not, they should be. But get the look that you want for your home with customizable windows and doors from Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin. The durability of materials, it gets tested, just like your fandom of our Wisconsin sports teams. They get tested. They open and close doors, latches, and shade tens of thousands of times to ensure that they last for years to come. Pella offers custom colors and innovative features like shades between the glass. Right now, you get zero interest for up to 36 months. Certain restrictions do apply. This offer ends on Halloween. Get started today at PellaWI.com.
More live from Steinhoffel's in Waukesha, where we are celebrating their 90th anniversary. They've got the weekend sale, the best brands, best prices sale with 10% off almost everything. And here's the thing. Now, look, we've got a little bit of a hookup here. We're lucky that Chad and Danny and the whole team take such great care of us. We have already seen the retro mini Bluetooth speakers that they have, that the first 100 people in the door on Saturday will receive. It is extremely cool, and I'm excited to use it. You can get one if you are one of the first 100 people through the doors, whether it's this store, whether it's the Green Bay store, the one in my neighborhood, whichever it may be. Make sure you come in for the weekend sale as they celebrate their 90th anniversary. The old school look is pretty awesome. You got to love that. What you don't love is the end of the Brewers season. We'll hear from some of the principals next. It's Wilde and Tausch. Continuing live from Steinhoffel's in Waukesha as we celebrate their 90th anniversary and mourn the loss 4-2 to the New York Mets to end the Brewers' season. So, you know, I enjoy correcting you.
So we would always want, like, we'd prefer, even though it'd be more painful had this happened in the NLCS, I still want that. As a fan, I still want the joy of winning, even though, let's say, we had a four-run lead in the seventh game at home and we blow it against the Dodgers. I still want that, by the way. I do.
So the loss to the Seahawks in the NFC Championship was better than the loss to the 49ers in the
division. No, wait a minute now, because the arguments we have when seasons end.
I want to experience beating and getting spritzed at AmFam last night. I want to go into Philly and work the Phillies.
I want to get
I want to have that. Even though I might feel the pain of losing in Chavez Ravine in the NLCS. You get what I'm saying? And I think all of us feel that way.
Yep.
But you would like to get blown out in losses instead
I'd rather lose in the seventh game. I don't want to get gut punched like last night, but I want to at least get there. I want to see it through. I want to enjoy the whole.
So if they lose 9-0 last night, you feel better?
Probably, yeah. I'm like, that just wasn't our year.
Yeah, you feel better than
because
a 9th inning collapse.
Again, I'm just trying to understand how your brains work. Because when the Packers lost the 2016 NFC Championship game and fell behind 27-0 in Atlanta. You know, I think Tony Cartagena was still the producer at that point. And he was – I was already over it by halftime.
Yeah. I agree with him.
So last night, you would rather have gotten a jump on the traffic because you were down 9-0 in the seventh inning than see those two home runs and feel that elation to go up on back-to-back pitches – home runs, including from a guy who had two home runs all year, and you'd rather not feel that at all because of what you ended up feeling. This is the life of a fan that I, again, can't understand.
Would you rather walk into your favorite ice cream shop and there be...
Oh, this is going to be good.
There's one scoop left of your favorite flavor, and they say, do you want it? And you say, yeah. Say, oh, too bad, we're giving it to this guy. As opposed to if you walk in and they say, we're out of it. That's the difference to me. If you walk in and you get,
what
you
do we
lose,
think of this analogy?
You lose.
I don't think it's bad.
You lose 9-0. It's just okay. That
it's
wasn't
like
ours.
They're scraping. You really want Salty Cow, and you go there and you're in line, and Wilde orders the last Salty Cow.
I got the biggest,
but it's right there, and you can smell it, and you think it's there, but then it's gone.
As opposed to if they just say we don't have Salty Cow today,
and now you have to get vanilla.
It's easier to swallow. Yes,
I agree.
So you forgot, but you said while you were proposing the are Wisconsin sports fans cursed or not, that you
cursed.
Said you don't believe that.
We're not cursed. So because, you know, being cursed is being irrelevant. It's not having to feel any emotions. You don't ever see a championship like Minnesota Vikings fans, but then they could say, well, the Twins have won in at least recent memory. So – while I know that we are snake bitten, I would say snake bitten, not cursed.
Don't you? So again, I have made my position very clear as a non-fan.
Yep.
I appreciate everything you do to try and understand it. I don't want you to understand it because I don't understand that. This idea that Wisconsin fans are cursed, the folks that believe that, I would love for them to text in because we've got a very tight schedule today here at Steinhoffel, so we don't have a lot of time for calls. But I would love your texts, 844-770-3776. Because, look, here's the thing. These are the teams we focus on, whether you're fans or whether you're doing a radio show or you're a reporter. The state teams are the ones you cover. Mm-hmm. Are you telling me that Vikings fans don't feel like they're cursed and that they don't have it worse than Wisconsin sports
or
fans
Bears
do?
Or Bears fans, or, yeah, there's a numerous.
Like, we went through those for our enjoyment last week, I think last Friday.
Wait, what do Lions fans feel then? I mean.
This is what I'm saying. Like, yes.
It's
guess
cursed.
What? Losing sucks when you lose with a chance to advance to the playoffs. Every season that ends that way ends in disappointment.
I think you're much more cursed if you never make playoffs and you're constantly in the top 10 of drafting. That's cursed.
Well, you never get hurt then.
No, you get just continually – you get like a chicken – like a pork filet that you're going to end up – you know, turn it into a sandwich. You're pounding the heck out of it. You just get beaten into submission. Just
is that one of the ice cream flavors too?
You just get beaten down and you're just like – you throw your hands up. We don't throw our hands up. Yeah. We ride the wave. And sometimes that wave is awesome. And a lot of times you go crashing into shore. And it hurts. And
with
sometimes you
got
to have surgery. And you like it is a ride. And sometimes it ends up great. Sometimes it doesn't. And unfortunately, especially as a Brewers fan, you crash a lot. But you want to be out in that ocean. You want to be doing it. What you don't want to be doing is sitting there saying, oh, look at that. Oh, these guys. Just look at some of these other programs that are doing it. And it's a whole different animal. While I get it, today is not the day probably to even ask that question, but it is because it's so raw.
Look, I would just say this. It would be great to see the University of Wisconsin football team in the college football playoff. And I would much rather have that than going to bowl games and having fun but not really getting your gut ripped out when you have a 7-point lead on Georgia with 10 minutes left in the fourth quarter and you lose the game. I don't understand why anything else would be preferable to that.
I just look
other
at
other than winning.
I look at our whole landscape here, and I'll put my Wisconsin sports resume up against it. I love it. I love every team. There's, you know, different varying degrees. We have had MVPs. We've had a Bucks championship. We've had Brewers baseball, which, for the most part, you at this market, you think you're going to have to ride some pretty big lulls where you have to reboot. One time in the last 7 years is when we've not. Is that correct? Mm-hmm.
Two games that they have played.
Now, we haven't won a series since 18, and that is very, very frustrating.
Yep,
no doubt.
But I want to be there. I want to be in the mix, and we are. And then we have a team that's chasing a championship every year, even though we haven't won one in 14 or 15 years. We're there. And we have opportunities, and sometimes it just doesn't work itself out.
Tyler and I said on the way to the game last night, it's just the fourth time in franchise history that there's a winner-take-all game in Milwaukee. And we would rather be there and see the team lose than to not have it.
We have a special guest.
I hate you so much. I just do. All right.
That was my best point of the day, and I just totally got derailed.
We don't have time for that. What we do have time for, I do want to get to this because we're not going to have time to talk more Brewers the rest of the day. So I do want people who didn't hear this, Adam McAlvey of Brewers.com got this video of Christian Yelich.
Yeah.
Talking about Bob Uecker. And if you want to hear, I mean, I recommend seeing it because his eyes are full of tears as he says these things.
What do you make of that?
I will hold off on interpreting. I want people to hear this. This is Christian Yelich talking after Bob Uecker went around the clubhouse and spoke to all the various players, including the first one, who was Devin Williams, that he went to. Here's Christian Yelich last night.
For me, it was talking to Uke. You know, that's kind of a, you know, tough one. But, you know, all the other stuff is, you know, it is what it is. It's a tough way for your season to end. But, you know, talking to Uke, you know, one on one was tough, you know. By far the hardest part of the night for me was talking to Bob and, you know, just all that stuff. But, you know, he still kind of laughs through it all and that whole deal. And, I mean, all you guys know him pretty well from around here, so, yeah.
Kristen, what made that so tough? It almost feels like the loss is sort of secondary in your mind right now.
Yeah, it's not. I don't really want to get into that, but it's just it's tough. Yeah.
What has he meant to you? I mean, you.
Yeah, I mean, he's a lot. He means a lot. Gotten to know him pretty good over the last 7 years, so. Right over there. It's just a great guy. Great guy.
So when you combine that with what Robin Yount said to us yesterday, I think there is a feeling that you don't know how much longer you have someone who's 90 years old, who is a iconic piece of your franchise, who a lot of players have grown very close to, and that while we can all sit here and go, well, there's always next year, you don't know how many more next years he has.
Correct.
That's yeah, why I took that.
That you combine that with a lot of stuff. I'm not going to speculate on anything else. It was touching to hear that. I think obviously everybody knows how loved, beloved, and important Bob Uecker is to the Milwaukee Brewers. And I think that was the thing. You just felt like there was this unified feeling of let's do it for Uke. And when you can't get that done, you don't know how many more opportunities you're going to get to do that.
All right, we're going to shift gears because we do have a Packers game to get to, and that's why most folks tune into this program. So we will talk Packers moving forward. Tausch, though, you would much prefer to have a Coors Light in celebration. Instead, there's probably one or two in drowning sorrows last night.
Well, Coors Light fits it all. It's brewed with a three-step cold process, cold lager, cold filtered, and it is cold packaged, so it's made to chill and make sure those mountains are blue. That's when you know cold activated bottles and cans are chilled to perfection. That's what is Coors Light in my hand when I need a moment to chill. Celebrate responsibly. Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado.
All right, Packers Rams Sunday. We will get to our green and gold game preview live from Steinhoffel's in Waukesha. Feel free to come out. All the stars are out today at Steinhoffel's in Waukesha.
Got a lot of track and field legends showing up out here. Not Eric Hatchell either. I don't think Hatch is going to make it out.
Oh, no. I was looking forward to him giving us some content.
He's been very lax.
It's been a while from him. More Wildy and Tausch straight ahead. Stick around. Our green and gold game preview instead of DeForest and University of Wisconsin track and field, which I think Tausch was expecting to be the next topic. But be that as it may, time now for the green and gold game preview.
Let's take a closer look at this week's matchup. This is the green and gold game preview.
Can I be honest with you guys?
Well, can I be honest with you? Are you doing this?
I'm doing this, yeah. That's part of why I came out here today, was to lead some of these segments
that's
with
why?
You guys.
Kind of like that one full
part of
hour,
it.
The Jesse Nelson hour yesterday.
What a good hour that was yesterday. Your best hour yesterday, by
you
far.
Think that Trump Robin Yount coming on?
Yeah.
No.
I'm here today. Where's Robin?
I'll say this. When Tausch said there was going to be a guest on the show, I did not expect it to be Robin again.
That would be fun, though, if it would have been. I'm not feeling a lot of juice for this Packers game on Sunday. I don't know if it's because I'm bummed about the Brewers last night. I don't know if it's because it's a road game against the Rams and it's not got the same kind of playoff type atmosphere it's felt like the last couple of years. It just doesn't feel very juicy this weekend.
Okay, I would agree with you. I think it's a West Coast game, and I think the fact that the Rams are beaten down as much as they are.
Right.
If you had Cooper Kupp and Puka Nacua and you had their offensive line in place, I think the Rams coming into it were a team that I think a lot of people had as a playoff team. Mm-hmm. I thought they could take down the Niners. I think it might be Arizona or Seattle now that take down the mountain climbers. So this should be a win. This is a game the Green Bay Packers defense needs to dominate from top to bottom. And if they don't, I'll have a lot of questions about where this defense is at. If you don't dominate in a game where you're going to have home field advantage, Packer fans will show up in droves out there. The Rams, outside of Heather Davenport's class, there are not a lot of Rams fans. So this should be one of those games, Green Bay down. And I think that's probably why there's not a ton of juice.
But it is the CBS Game of the Week at 325. Nance and Romo going to be on the call.
Tracy.
And because the Packers' only other national game in a standalone window was on Peacock earlier this year, this will probably be the game nationally for a while that the Packers have the most people viewing.
I got a hunch it'll be more national. But I could be wrong.
Well, there will be. But for now, until you get to November, this will be one of the most highly viewed Packers games across the country.
Okay.
So our three big questions leading into Packers-Rams Sunday afternoon. What is the big storyline, Tausch, heading into Sunday's game?
It needs to be the storyline all week. Has been, where's the Packers pass rush? The Packers pass rush needs to show up. You have the storyline of McVay being the guru and, you know, LaFleur kind of being one of his guys. But this game is all about, for me, Jeff Hafley and this pass rush, figuring out ways to beat a depleted Los Angeles Rams offensive line without their two top wideouts. This needs to be a Cobra Boa Constrictor game. You better suffocate this offense and not let them breathe by the end of it. It should be Suffocate City out in Sin City, or some, whatever they call it. What
some,
do they call it?
Some might say that was
City of Angels.
City of Angels. Los
there,
Angeles.
Better not be any angels. It better be Suffocate City.
Tausch took the low-hanging fruits there, obviously, but he's right. And on the other side of their defense, you know, it looks like maybe Jair Alexander will be healthy enough to play. He was limited yesterday, which surprised me. It looks like Carrington Valentine is getting healthy as well. Unfortunately, last week was the week they needed them. No Cooper Kupp, no Puka Nacua this week. And Matthew Stafford does not move particularly well. So the opportunity to silence the critics.
More Cobra. I think it's a boa constrictor, right? Is that the...
Yes, the constricting, I think, is what you're going for.
I want to suffocate.
Yeah, like yes.
Mm-hmm. Smother.
This has been your snake minute.
Besides Jordan Love, which player is most important to the Packers going boa constrictor on the Rams this weekend?
Yeah, I mean, I'm going to go Kenny Clark. I know the Rashawn Gary is the low-hanging fruit because everybody's wondering what he's up to and where he's at.
Just take your guy.
Who's my guy?
Kenny Clark, you just said that. Let me get to Rashawn Gary. Yeah, I'm not going to take the low-hanging fruit, but then I'm going to use my turn to take the guy
first,
that you're going to take.
Others want to contribute to the segment, too. So if you say, I'm going to take Kenny Clark, but also Rashawn Gary.
Because
and,
it's the same principle. You kind of have to maneuver.
Kenny Romeo Clark, Dobbs.
I think Kenny Clark needs to, the interior part of this Rams offensive line and the tackles, but really Kenny Clark needs to dominate. I think we need to... He got the new contract extension. He needs to eat. And he needs to be a game wrecker. That's what I need to see from him out at SoFi Sunday.
Yeah, I'll keep taking the low-hanging fruit. I asked Jeff Hafley yesterday about Rashawn Gary because he sounded like a coach who was protecting his guy early on. And my point was essentially, and maybe we can get this if we can jam it into our jam-packed show, but... My point was, look, Rashawn Gary still has to do his part, too. Like, you can take the blame for not doing enough and not moving him around enough and not figuring out ways to get him freed up. But he is still an elite-level player in your mind. He needs to play like one. And I thought Jeff Hafley had a great moment of honesty where he said that he is disappointed in his own production. He has to do better for us, and we have to do better for him. And so... Rashawn Gary needs to play like Rashawn Gary, and this should be a game that gives him the opportunity to be the guy that we all expect him to be.
Yep. Last up in our green and gold game preview, the Packers win, can you believe this, the first game they ever play at SoFi Stadium in Los Angeles.
That is odd. I know they played them out there, obviously, with McVay, but that was at the old
Coliseum.
Great uniform game.
And they played the Chargers at their baby stadium.
Mm-hmm. It was a great uniform game. Yeah.
Quirks of the schedule, they haven't played at SoFi since it opened in 2020.
Yeah, if they score 20-plus, they're going to win the game. That's what this game needs to be. And I think Jordan Love and the offense having another week where they're just kind of getting off those vibes. This should be a run-it-down-your-throat, suffocate-city game. I will be very disappointed if the Green Bay Packers give up more than 17 points to this version of Sean McVay's Rams offense. So that's what this game needs to be. Whether or not, you know, what plan McVay comes up with, how they're going to stop the run, like, it's going to be a little bit of a fascinating how McVay can figure this out, because if he wins this game, I would leapfrog him over LaFleur. This should not be a game where Matt LaFleur gets outcoached. That would be the only way that the Rams can compete with this, with their roster as it sits right now. Green Bay just a lot better.
Yeah, the Packers lose this game if they lose it, as opposed to the Rams going out and winning it. They have to make a ton of mistakes.
Sounds like turnovers.
Look, I'm going to go on the other side of the ball since we didn't talk about the offense. You know, Jordan Love is another step closer to being himself again.
Way too sloppy with the ball last week.
Agreed, and that would go into the turnovers that we're not allowed to say during this portion of the preview. But he has to be better with his decisions. He has to be better with his accuracy. We all kind of gave him a pass last week.
Did.
He's coming back from injury. I don't have a problem giving him
deserved
a pass on that.
Pass.
He doesn't get a pass this week.
Nope.
And I don't think Jordan wants a pass this week. So I think the offense has to be more balanced, obviously. I want to see Dontavion Wicks come out and get open 82% of the time, but this time not drop three balls like he did on Sunday against the Vikings. So those are all of the aspects on the offense.
And get
Josh Jacobs more involved.
And let's start to see some cleanup on all these sloppy penalties, too. I know it's gotten a little bit better, but I kind of am done with that. You're not going to be dealing with a ton of crowd noise. Start cleaning your blank up. Like, it's been way too sloppy this season. And, yes, we could say, well, they're young, all this other stuff. Time to start growing up.
All right, that is our green and gold game preview as we get ready for Packers-Rams. We'll have our Steinhoffel's Sleepers of the Week coming up a little bit later in the show.
Tausch. I think you guys are all right with when we're on remote, it's double points. We'll let the Academy or the analytics
Why?
Firm.
Because you've fallen so far behind Jesse?
I'm right,
you need
I'm
double,
right at Jesse
you need double points.
I'm not worried about that. But there should be – this is the Super Bowl for Steinhoffel's Sleepers. We're literally in the cathedral of Steinhoffel's.
Why should we double up the
we'll
points?
We'll ask Jerry Odd and Klinkster. They will be the arbiters, as they are with all things Steinhoffel's.
Yeah, but you're bullying them already.
I'm not bullying them.
You just announced that we were going to do double points.
You're declaring and saying, why
Odd,
would we not?
I do declare. If you're up for a double point Steinhoffel's this week, we'll do that. And Packer fans, if you're looking for the ultimate game day experience, American Family Insurance has you covered. Picture this. Hit your very own VIP tailgate, then cheer on the Packers from jaw-dropping seats. Enter the Dream Weekend Sweepstakes to win amazing game tickets, private tailgate, exclusive Jordan Love merch, and much, much more. That all sounds incredible. Well, don't miss out. Visit amfam.com/Packers to enter. You have until the stroke of midnight on the 21st of October. Dream fearlessly, insure carefully.
All right, we need to play trivia before the doors officially open at Steinhoffel's in Waukesha. I can't. This is like a rock concert. There's like thousands of people in the parking lot, or maybe none right now. But there will be later as we broadcast live from Steinhoffel's in Waukesha. Let's play some trivia. Riley, what's today's category, and what caller would you like?
It's a great question, Jason. Let me pull up the show sheet real quick.
Oh, my God.
That would
Riley,
be,
come
just,
on.
See, I know what the category is. Oh, I'm trying to let you be part of
it. I
appreciate
that.
Jesse already took a segment from
you. How many state champions has DeForest had in track?
Seven.
Seven state champions with caller seven.
That's not – he just made up a number.
Can you prove it's wrong?
Yeah.
No,
someone
I can't.
Someone fact check me on that.
All right, we'll do the fact-checking. We're going to take caller seven.
We still don't know what the category is.
The category is on a Ram page.
That's
questions
clever.
About the St. Louis / Los Angeles Rams. Caller 7 right now, 844-770-3776. 844-770-3776. We will play trivia next. It's Wilde and Tausch. I'm not afraid of getting old, and I won't let stay from dying young. I see the light go past my shoulder, and I won't let stay from dying young. And I'm not afraid. Live from Steinhoffel's as we celebrate their 90th anniversary. I'm still planning.
90 years,
I'm still planning on doing this show when they do their 100th
years.
Anniversary. Whether we could keep Tausch for another 10 years or he leaves us because he's got more important things to do, we'll have to wait and see. Might be Wilde and Nelson by then. Who knows?
Oof.
Well, I don't know who'd listen to that.
Doubtful.
But I look forward to the 100th anniversary. For now, it's the 90th anniversary of Steinhoffel, so be sure to come in. The doors are now open. I know everyone's been waiting patiently for the store to open.
It would have been
so
really fun. We have a fan here that was trying to get in on the trivia, calling in. Didn't quite.
We've never had that, where it we've been out somewhere and someone's right next to us on the phone playing trivia.
He was caller 6, so yeah, he's close.
Very close.
Well, our contestant is right nearby, knowing my Milwaukee geography like I do. Sussex, not that far from Waukesha.
We've done enough Milwaukee trivia, or like I don't feel like we do enough geography trivia. I know
we've done it once a week for 2 years.
I feel like we could do more. I do.
Well, you definitely could do more. You've been skipping it quite a bit over the last several weeks.
Who skipped it Monday or Tuesday? You did, Washer Boy.
Wow, good comeback. All right, let's welcome in Sparky in Sussex. Sparky, good morning. How are you?
I'm okay. I'll make it through the day. A little depressed.
Yeah.
But
tough to ask people how they're doing.
Sparky,
today.
Do you feel like as you are a great Wisconsin sports fan, you love the Pack, Brewers. Do you feel blessed or cursed as a fan?
No, I definitely feel blessed. I think about places like Chicago or other places that don't even have professional sports. Some place
Omaha.
Nebraska, or they got one thing going for them. That's it.
Amen, buddy.
And all right, Sparks. Here we go.
Tausch is ready to start trivia now.
Which of these cities has never been home to the Rams football franchise? Is it St. Louis, Cleveland, or Birmingham? Birmingham.
I don't know where Birmingham even is. Jesse,
I don't know if that's a funny one.
How many Coors Lights did you have last night?
Let's let Sparky answer, and then we'll address it.
Well, that last one kind of threw me a little bit, but I believe the second one was Cleveland, you said?
I did,
I'll go with Cleveland. Yep.
Oh, my God. What just happened?
It's actually Birmingham. It's never been the Birmingham Browns. Rams, whatever it is.
God.
I think there should be a protest already.
Yeah, Sparky's not
okay. So why are you saying Birmingham when it's Birmingham as the joke answer? Because they're playing the Rams.
Okay, but
the Birmingham Rams sounds preposterous.
The hyphen was key there.
I just thought you misspelled
No, I didn't misspell Birmingham. It was a pun,
yeah,
Birmingham.
I ain't gonna lie to you. I can understand why you'd be frustrated.
Not
with that.
Birmingham.
Yeah, well, it's spelled Birmingham.
And now Sparky's on the raw end of this.
Yeah, Sparky, that's on me. I'll take some point for that.
You can file a protest with the commissioner.
My own
If Sparky comes by to Steinhoffel's, we could re-ask him the question. We'll come up with a different question to ask him in person, and we will do a redo on question
entries.
1.
.com and that's not allowed.
All right, Sparky, let's bounce back. Question 2 is this:
Birmingham.
I think the hyphen would have helped.
Glad you enjoyed
it. I'll read whatever's on the teleprompter.
Indeed, Ron Burgundy Tauscher.
Birmingham.
In 2022,
I didn't know what the. I still don't even know what the.
I don't even know what the topic is. Rams?
Is that Rampage is the category.
Okay. Okay.
Hi. Question two. In 2022, the Los Angeles Grams became the second team in NFL history to win the Super Bowl in its home stadium. Which team did it first? Was it the San Diego Chargers, the Indianapolis Colts, or the Tampa Bay Buccaneers?
Can you repeat those again? I'm still reeling from the last one.
I would love to.
Yeah.
Birmingham. Birmingham.
The Grandpa Bay Buccaneers.
Oh, sure.
That's a good one.
All right, which of these teams won the Super Bowl in its home stadium besides the Rams? Was it the San Diego Chargers, the Indianapolis Colts, or the Tampa Bay Buccaneers?
I believe it was Tampa Bay.
You believe to be right. Way to bounce back. Oof. Question two.
Grandpa Bay.
Oh, old Grandpa Bay. That would have been a funnier way than Birmingham.
Oh,
last one, Sparky. Which of these players is the Rams franchise rushing leader? The only running back in Rams franchise history to rush for more than 10,000 yards. Is it Eric Dickerson, Marshall Faulk, or Steven Jackson? Great question.
Ooh. Ooh, boy. I know who I want to say, but I'm going to go with Steven Jackson.
This is really hard.
Nailed it. What a great answer, Smart.
What a great question, Jesse.
Yeah, it was good.
Thanks, fellas.
So you just have to take into account that Marshall Faulk played a lot with the Colts, so that was going to limit it. But I would have went Eric Dickerson.
And Eric Dickerson played a lot with the Colts.
They've had a lot of good running backs with the Rams franchise.
Yes,
and
indeed.
The fact that Steven Jackson is the all-time rushing leader
that
is surprising.
That dude ran with some force now. But he's going to smack into mouth.
His team's traditionally not that good. He played from 04 to 12.
Yep.
That was not the golden age of
it
Rams football.
No, it was not.
He missed the Kurt Warner teams, and he missed the
Sean
McVay
era. He was part of the
Mark
Bulger teams, though, which were pretty good, too.
All right, Sparky, maybe we'll see you, maybe we won't, but we always support your we always appreciate your support and loyalty of the show, buddy. Thanks.
Well, you're definitely going to see me. You don't get rid of me this easily.
Okay, I almost wonder if this isn't a sign. I think we might go to Birmingham. I have not spent a lot of time in Alabama. I think I'm going to go to Birmingham now.
Okay. Well, Tausch goes to Birmingham. He's going to tell us
what
maybe he can
do?
Make some extra money at Fortrea.
Well,
to
if you would let me, I was going to say we get to Fortrea. Fortrea Clinical Trials. Healthy, overweight adults.
If you would let me.
Age 18 to 65, BMI 30 to 40. Study 3 stays, totaling 7 nights with 12 follow-ups, and you can grab yourself. So it'll be plenty of money to get to Birmingham. $14,148 for your time and participation. If you're for a friend, you get $350 more. Another study, healthy adults age 18 to 60, BMI 18 to 32, one stay, 14 nights, 11 follow-ups, $13,006 for your time and participation. Head over to FortreaClinicalTrials.com. That's Fortrea, F-O-R-T-R-E-A, clinicaltrials.com.
We'll kick off the 10 o'clock hour live from Steinhoffel's in Waukesha in 2 minutes. So stick around. It's Wilde and Tausch.